So just a bit of background information. People then thought that an angel would come down, stir the water, and if you got into the water while it was happening, first in, first serve, you got healed. So that's why he's waiting there, and he thought he might get healed. That's one little bit of background information. Another little bit of background information is there's a very political time. All the Pharisees dead set wanted to get Jesus in trouble. It got worse after this. And so you've got to remember that this isn't just a nice story happening in a nice place. It's a very politically charged time. Okay, the Romans are there, the Jews are there, people are fighting for power. So there's a little bit of background that I think will help make that story make it a bit more sense. So let's pray. Father, we would love for you to speak with us tonight. We would love for you to reach into our hearts, reveal any sin that's there, and change us. We would love you to encourage us and give us hope. We would love to walk more closely with you, to both know your love and to love you more richly. So we pray that tonight you'll speak to us through your word. Amen. Well, just out of interest, I want to ask you a little question. Why is this story here? It just seems crazy to me. I don't know if you've been coming to church. I wagged last Sunday. I was feeling a bit crook. But you've been coming along, and you would have seen the story there of Nicodemus, this fantastic man, and Jesus says these great words, "For God so loved the world." You know that we've learned the powerful words. And then we had the story of the woman of Samaria. What a great story. Jesus going into Samaria and whole crowds coming as he transforms this woman who's very sinful, and turns her and the village back to God. And you can see that Jesus loves sinners and he loves outcasts. Just makes lots of sense to us, doesn't it? Then we've got a great bit of teaching after this passage, fantastic, about the Trinity. We get to look into the nature of the Trinity. We get to see a bit about how the Father and the Son and the Spirit all relate together. We get this deeper sense of who God is. Makes more sense to us. God does and Jesus does. And then we've got the feeding of the 5,000. This powerful miracle. Big miracle. Fantastic. If you don't understand, if you've never seen an act of creation, thousands of people saw an act of creation on that day. They saw God at work. They knew that he's a God of power. And it happened historically, and people saw it happen. Like, why wouldn't you put that in? I get it. But I don't get why you would put this in. Or at least when I got given the sermon to preach, I thought, I didn't even know why he put this in there. Let alone giving it to me. No, just joking. Honestly, it's a great story. Of course, it's in the Bible. It's really good. But it just seems so underwhelming, really. There's a man, he gets healed. Then he goes and dobs. And it gets harder for Jesus. Doesn't seem that much. Not really. It's not like feeding 5,000, is it? It's not that big. Why put it in? I can understand from the man's point of view how fantastic it is. My grandma was a quadriplegic for 40 years. A drunk ran into them and she couldn't walk. I know my favourite words on a Sunday night, "You may be seated." I love them. At the end of a song, "Have a seat." Imagine after 40 years, get up and walk. How fantastic. What a moment. And it's not even the biggest moment in this story. If you ask me what I'd been doing this week, I would tell you I've been painting. But it's not really true. This weekend I haven't been painting. I've been cleaning out the accumulated grime and oil of the last 20 years in my kitchen that is ingrained in the wood. Disgusting. Ammonia, gloves, getting it out. This is about that level in my mind. It's the really surface horribleness of what can happen in life. This horrible physical illness for 40 years. Be awful. But when I was cleaning the bathroom, I took out the whatever you put the glass in to keep the bath in place. Underneath that, there was all this mould. They hadn't siliconed properly, and it was in there. It was grubby as, right? And you can see here, there's this even deeper sense. Let's look at verse 7. He's not only been a paraplegic for all that time, he has no one to put him in. See, my grandma, she was a quadriplegic. It was horrible. She had family. We loved her. We adored her. But this man, he didn't have that. He had no one. He was alone. That is a tragedy. That is deeper, isn't it? Imagine not only being that ill, that crook, but being alone. All these people around who know who you are, the Pharisees knew that he was this paralyzed man who was now walking around with his mat. No one to help him. No one cared that much. Of course, the problem isn't really the mold that I could see. It's all those horrible mold spores, all the microscopic grime that, as I went into that bathroom, that I'm breathing constantly in. That's even deeper there, isn't it? There is this problem that Jesus says is his sin that's so awful. We see it all the time, of course. We don't think it's that grubby, but it's just awful. And he is deep in his sin. We'll see that later. Now, I want to ask you something in this story that stands out to me. Does it stand out to you? His absolute lack of gratitude. Does that strike you as you read this story? If you've got this, have a little look at it. He hasn't walked for 38 years. He hasn't had anyone. And Jesus comes in and does what no one has done. And then he gets healed, take up his mat and walked. Woohoo! He can get up and walk. And then the Pharisees come. Who did this? He doesn't know. Jesus comes and says to him, take up your bed and walk. And he reveals himself to him. And the man, what does he do? He races off. He says, you see that man over there? He's the one who told me get up and walk. It's him. That is such lack of gratitude, isn't it? Does that strike you? I have a mate, Hamish. I was going to call my dog Hamish, but the next door's dog is named Hamish. But Hamish's dad was at a surf lifesaving club one day, and this man who'd drunk too much vomited everywhere and then started choking on his vomit. Yuck. Anyways, the dad wiped the vomit out, gave him mouth to mouth. You know, that was in the old days before they put the face mask on. Anyways, got him good. When the ambulance came, they got him good. He lived. So the next week, the man came along to the surf lifesaving club and gave him a scratchy. And he said, here you go, mate. Thanks for that. If you win, I want 50%. Dead set, true story. That's the gratitude that's shown here. So I actually think that helps us understand how it fits into this story. You see, Nicodemus, he was a great ruler of the place, he seemed like a good man. He really wanted to know what Jesus was teaching about. And God's breath breathed into him, and he was born again. You can see that. He just turned to God. We saw that he did turn to God. And Jesus knew what was in his heart, and he turned him to God. Then we have the story of the Samaritan woman, and everyone says that she had five husbands, so then she probably slept around a lot. It could just be that she was a really bad cook. But probably not, because everyone shunned her. And even on MasterChef, they don't shun you just because you're a terrible cook. But do you know what? I think that she was brave as... I keep this on my car, this girl from Brave. That courage. She both had courage and forgiveness. Her first thought was for all those people who had constantly rejected her. She raced back and told them this great news about this great man. To me, that's a beautiful heart there, isn't it? You know, when we were in Ethiopia, we did a little mission holiday trip, whatever you call it, to a Sudanese refugee camp. And the water was miles away, and it was hot as. And, you know, carrying in the heat. Imagine that's you, and you're completely rejected by those people. You have to do that trek every day on your little lonesome. How horrible would that be, hey? Imagine you found out wonderful news. Would your first reaction be to race back and tell everyone, I know the truth. I've got a man. He can bring you into friendship with God. Would it? I hope it would, but it might not be. That's a beautiful person, if you ask me. She's a beautiful person, that woman from Samaria. But this is a grubby little man. There's no nice way to say it. He has been given the gift of a lifetime, hasn't he? And Jesus looks right into his heart, and he knows... He's a grubby little man. He knows what he's going to do. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And do you know what he does? He heals him. It's beautiful. You know, Luke 7, Jesus says this, don't just do good to those who are going to do good to you. Do good even to your enemies. Do good to those who can't pay you back, because that's what God's like. In Matthew, it tells the same thing. In John, he just shows what God's like, that God absolutely will love the unlovely. Those who will not give back, who are enemies, God will pour love into that person. You've been loving the rain? Have you been loving it? Dude, it's been lovely. Autumn rains. I like it. Even though I'm painting, it makes life a bit painful, waiting for everything to dry. But it rained on our ministers, these men of God. God loves ministers and their wives, families, parishioners. You turned up to church, you're lovely people probably, you know. Do you know that 1 in 6 men... beat up their wives, rained on them. God provide them with beautiful rain. Today, God pours out his blessings on the good and on yucky people. He does. That's what this passage is. That's why I reckon it's there. I reckon that's the truth, that Jesus, that God looks into your heart. He knows who you are, and he is good to you. Because the deep thing that Jesus did was he he warned him, he was willing to take this man's sin and deal with it. Sin's so horrible. I'm about to paint my kitchen. It's such a job. It's disgusting. I'm ready to paint it. I'm just in the sanding stage. I want you to imagine that it was beautiful and pure, just painted Waikiki white. Waikiki white. Sounds nice. Except it's not Waikiki white. It's China white. Oh, sorry about that. Better not get that wrong. Now, imagine I have just finished painting my kitchen and someone came in and just destroyed it, you know, with whatever. How can you destroy a kitchen? Cook bolognese sauce. What's that?
Graffiti.
Fish and chips. The oil's all there. You know, disgusting. So that's not what sin's like. Sin is like this rebellion against a perfect God. He's made us. He's made this beautiful world. And we don't just trash the world. We refuse to relate with him in a good way. Right? That's it. You've heard so many ways to describe sin. There's one of them. It is what hurts you. The things that make people's lives rotten. What leads ISIS to be doing what ISIS is doing. All the abuse that's in people's lives. All the sickness that's in people's lives. It all comes around from the horribleness of sin that permeates everything. And that is what Jesus deals with. He healed this man, and it probably didn't cost him much. It just showed his power. But he took his sin and he bore it. And it's not the physical pain that Jesus suffered on the cross that matters. You know, if you had chronic illness, you know, chronic pain for 60 years, like some people suffer, that'd be worse than a couple of days on a cross. I mean, it could be, couldn't it? It's not the physical suffering. It's taking all the yuckiness of the world into yourself when you don't have any. You know, when you've just had a shower, have you ever put on like dirty gloves? Have you ever done that with the washing up? Someone's let water into the bottom of the gloves and you put your hand and it's like, yeah. The purer and cleaner you are, the horrible it is to deal with sin, to deal with yuckiness. That Jesus, completely pure, dived in. Took it all on himself. I heard this great story. I probably told it before. I love it so much I keep telling it all the time. These two blokes in the 50s who were manure, you know, you used to put your poo in the long drop and then they'd come with a tin and chuck it into a cart. You know that? That was their job. They would do that. Anyways, one day this man and his mate were doing that job and his coat fell in to all the poo. And he went in and got it out. And his mate said, "What are you doing? That coat's ruined." He said, "I'm not after my coat. I'm after my sandwiches, what's in the pocket." You hang around gunk long enough, you forget how disgusting it is. That's not Jesus. He knows completely how disgusting our sin is, and yet he took it all into himself. Now, my question to you tonight is this: if you know it's true, do you have that same lack of gratitude that this man has? He's done everything. He took every horrible moment of your life, every yucky, nasty, cruel thing that you've done or thought. He has paid for every bit of it. I want to ask you this question. Do you show that same lack of gratitude to him? He calls you to put your trust in him. Do you? Do you continue to reject him, even though you know it's true? He says this, he says, how can you love God who you can't see when you don't love your neighbour who you can? Are you loving the people around you? If you're a kid, you know that you don't obey your parents because they're wonderful. People can have terrible parents. God calls you to love and honour them. Are you doing that? Because you're so grateful to God for everything he's done for you? You know, Jesus says if you don't love your family, you're worse than the heathens. You know that? I'm going to ask you this. Are you loving your family? Are you loving your husband and your wife, your kids? That's how we show our gratitude. We trust him. We do the things that we know matter to him. Or do we just do what feels best for us at the moment? Look, I'm not really trying to preach a sermon that makes you feel really guilty, but it's the question that this passage brings me to. It's made me look through my life and think, do I show that same lack of gratitude? And I'm not saying you don't. You might. I hope you do. I hope that it fills your days with loving God, loving the people around you. But if it doesn't, then let me say, it's the right response. This response that he did was a rubbish response. It was just appalling, wasn't it? Yeah, well, don't make an appalling response to such a wonderful thing. I'm going to finish up in a sec. I want to show you something. You were here on an amazing day. I didn't just dress like this because all my clothes are packed away because I'm painting and I couldn't find anything. No, that's a lie. I dressed this was Friday. It was on the 14th of March, 2015, you know what a moment it was? At 9:26:53, that moment in history that you lived through just last week and a day. Did you know it was a significant moment? Did you know that that is the closest we get in a century to pi decimal places? If you think it's not important, because you might not love maths as much as I love it, but let me tell you, it's amazing. Here's a circle we see every day. We can perfectly work out its area. Right? Pi r squared, something that's completely confined, a little circle, can be described by a number that we can't pinpoint exactly because it goes on forever to infinity decimal places. Something that's eternal can be described in this little tiny circle. We get a grasp of the infinite when we get a sense of what pi is, right? We got a grasp of the infinite tonight. We saw love that you just don't see. Love for enemies. Love for people who just show no gratitude. Someone, God, willing to take all your sin and pain. You live through this moment. You might not have recognized it. Every day you live in that moment where God is pouring his love into you. You might not recognize it. It's absolutely true. And what I'm calling you and I call myself to is that you live in that. You put your trust in Christ. You live in that moment of gratitude where you give your life and your love to him. It's funny, isn't it? That were you like me? Were you like me where you just didn't notice what a wonderful little encapsulated picture of God is in there? Well, I hope that you will, that it will bring you to praise and gratitude. Okay, I'm going to pray. Try to hold on to that thought. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a great God who shows this amazing love, that you love sinners, that you pour goodness into them, that you are willing to take theirs and our sin. We pray. We pray that you'll help us to show that love and gratitude in our lives, the way that we act, the way that we act with our family and with our friends and with our enemies. We thank you that Jesus looks into our hearts. He knows us for who we are, and yet he loves us. We pray, Father, that you will help us live in the knowledge of your deep love for us. Amen.